You want to repeat everything we did yesterday?
Why don't you tell everybody about that?
Well, about what did you speak yesterday?
Well,
yeah. I'm scared to say because I'm scared that I'll.
But we don't have to repeat it. We don't have to try to repeat it word for word. That was yesterday.
Sure.
Today is today. You want to repeat it again?
Well, before Pat left, I said, it's all about how we used to say living in the world of duality, but not being of the world of duality. It's about living. We're living in this body, but we're eternal beings living in this body, so we're living eternally in a body. So all the things that we're doing.
See what we did yesterday. What we did yesterday, and what I've tried to do from the get-go is, you can't start in the middle of things and understand anything.
Yeah.
Because you start in the middle of something and then you justify, you have to, what we did yesterday is you have to start some early beginning way and then continue following the process. And then somewhere in there in the process where you get to, you can say, oh, well, that's where I am along in the process. But it doesn't do you any good to start where you are. You won't structure a process that got you here. You rationalize and justify everything that you are. And then we struggle against that. And that doesn't accomplish anything. That's what I keep telling everybody. It's like on the website, I started with Chronicle 1. The idea is, hey, if we don't recreate the universe in a way, then you can't understand yourself. Because you have an image of the universe, and you have an image of yourself in and related to the universe. If you don't start and say, wait a minute, the whole image you have of the universe is of the very first order, all false. It doesn't do you any good.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what I say, you will challenge anything I say based on your image of the universe. And the point of the whole thing is the image of that you have of the universe is crap shit. It always was and it always will. And so you would say, well, I don't believe in that. But yes, you do, because, like, for instance, I might say to you, do you believe in God? And you say, no, I don't believe in God. And I say, yes, you do. Because every aspect of your life today, whether it's you or somebody else, and your language and everything that you speak in that way, is God-focused. Its foundation is the basis of the universe based on God. So there you are. You're screwed. How can I start without dealing with God? So what we did yesterday is then say, okay, maybe we won't deal with God and the universe, but we will deal with the beginning of you. Because we only had a certain period of time. So that's what we did. And then we followed the process from a beginning. Where we began doesn't mean that it's a beginning. That's just where we started. And and anywhere along the line, you're welcome to try and refute what we say. But the point is, if you can't refute what we said, then maybe it's possible that that is a process that is valid within the universe. And all I'm saying in all of this thing, if I'm giving you a process, I'm not then telling you what is. I'm giving you a process that I have used and experienced and say, okay, if you use that process, change the name of the game or change the participants, but follow the process, something that suits you, then you may begin to understand yourself in life. Because there is no one generic answer for everyone. But you've been looking for a right generic answer. There is none. But there could be a process that works. And if the process it works, then you can start that process with your life anywhere along the line. And may, if you understand the process, which is the only thing we talked about yesterday, in that then you can begin to understand yourself and life, if you want to. I mean, you can say, hey, I don't like this. I don't like the outcome. But that's all right, because all I've ever said is, can we have a what-if conversation? Last week I had somebody quit on me. No, I can't do that. No shit. Why can't you? I don't care what you believe. Let's say you believe in God and I do not. I can have a real soul-searching, in-depth conversation with you based on God. I don't believe in God at all. But I can discuss it. Well, I can get into a discussion of God and follow what you're saying without, in following what you say, feeling that that's imposing on me. And I can talk about God and not feel then that, well, gee, you have to believe in God or you can't talk about it. That isn't true at all. It's like I said months ago, the gal down at the book sale that I meet every month, and then we had a conversation, and everybody got pissed off because I got too loud. And they were going to kick us all out and everything else. And I said to her, look, she's a God person. I know everything you have, everything you believe and understand, because I've been there myself. But you don't understand one iota of where I'm coming from. She said, well, tell me. And I said, are you willing to give up your belief in God? No. And see, her ears would only be God-related in anything she said. So we couldn't even have a conversation about there being no God, because she would, and I'm not asking her to be unfaithful to God, if that's what it is. I'm just saying, hey, be faithful to God, but let's have this conversation if you want to know where I'm coming from. And she said, no, 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 fucking no. So I said, then I can't tell you a thing about where I'm coming from, and I can't tell you a thing about anything I understand. So we just don't talk about that. Hi, how you doing? What books you buying this month? And that's the trite, useless conversation that we have. And I said, like last week, to somebody, hey, if you believe in God, that's fine. I'll talk with you about that, if that's what you want to talk about. But you tell me what you believe so I know where you're coming from when you say something. And, of course, the problem, real problem with that is God believers don't really believe anything. There's no basis for their belief. Oh, I have faith. We have no conversation.
Do you think God believers really believe in God?
No, I don't. What they believe in most of the time, I think, is that there must be something better than this, and that therefore, because of the structure of language, we'll say that God must have created another or better place where, after we learn our lessons here, we can go there.
Or they believe that something else is going on than what we think is going on.
Yeah, because they really cannot discuss God. They'll give you adjectives and say, oh, God is unconditionally loving. He is compassionate and caring. What does that mean? How does that play out in your life today? Well, I don't know. Like long... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think God believers actually believe in death, and they hope that there's a God.
Well, that's right. And they hope they'll be resurrected. And they hope that all of these... But they're not rushing out there to do anything about it. You don't see nuns and priests committing suicide.
You do.
Yeah.
But not for those reasons.
Anyway, so if I'm going to talk just about you, I kind of have to set the universe aside a bit and start with some beginning. I cannot start with where you are today. That's why I've said I don't really damn care about your life today at all. I can't start with a conversation about your life today. It's kind of like the Gordian knot, and what you're then asking me to do is to find some way to make it okay. I can't do that. I can start from the beginning and show you a process that is likely to untangle some of the mess we've made and all of that. But even in that, you sort of have to live your life today in accordance with that process, or the process doesn't work for you. But it doesn't at all mean then that you have to go out and put on sandals and get a fancy name and act spiritual, whatever the hell that's supposed to be, and be like Ram Dass or Deepak Chopra, who's gotten monkified. He's now a genuine, authentic Buddhist monk. You don't have to go do that. The process allows you to live the same life you're living, but live it in a different way. That's the part of the process. But everybody is so afraid that what I'm asking them, you know, the old rule of thumb, the old cliche, you can't move along while hanging on. That means, well, Roger, that means I got to give up everything I'm doing to change. And it doesn't make any difference how much I say no. That's not true. People still believe that, and I'm not asking them to give up any damn thing. I'm asking them to add something additional to your life.
Yeah, that like the cup that you keep pouring pouring stuff into, and eventually you have clear water.
And the same way as the mess of your life, then you start living the things with a different perspective or a different relationship or a different concept of yourself and life, and all of a sudden you're living an entirely different life. But that doesn't mean spiritual as opposed to physical, because everything I am asking or talking about doing is still physical. So you're still living your physical life, but everything is different. But somehow or other, you know, it's like I asked several people over the last few weeks, what would it take to get you to quit living for the moment? And I said it that way for a purpose. Your donor body, and live as an abiding being. They go ashen. Even the thought of that, which doesn't make sense. And so the other problem that exists is, no matter what I say, you're only listening with loner, cause and effect, God and death ears. So you transmogrify everything I say to that way, which is foolish, but we do that. And even if you've been doing something in your life that you really, really, really enjoy, I haven't said don't do that. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe there was something that you would enjoy in even more than enjoy as a loner being, which isn't you. So anyway. And this is what I get, silence.
Well, it's pregnant silence. We're digesting what you've said. We're thinking about what you've said.
But it doesn't mean anything.
Well, I guess to you it doesn't mean anything, because you can't get inside my head and follow the thoughts as they're going through.
Then you talk, you tell me any meaningful thing that you want to talk about. And when you use a word, you willing to describe what you mean by that word so I can understand what you're talking about, man, I'll have a conversation based on what you're talking about or thinking about.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have any problem with that. And it may be counter to everything I believe, but that doesn't matter.
I can see you doing that. I mean, I can, you know, I have had conversations like that with you.
Then do that. Tell me where you're coming from in a big picture. And almost everywhere the answer is, I don't know. And yes, that's right. You're living a life of, I don't know. And you can't even discuss it with me or describe it or tell me or talk about it. What is the process you're living? What then is the process that you want to live?
I'm just thinking about answering that, and I realize I'm not clear on what process means.
Process generally means in the dictionary, and this is wrong. I don't have a better word to use. Process generally means a way or a manner to reach a goal.
Okay.
But you remember from the past, we've always said life is a journey, not a goal.
Yeah.
What if that's not true?
Life is a goal, not a journey?
Maybe it's both. See, you don't have to go to opposites.
Yeah.
And that going to opposites right off betrays you.
Well, if it maybe it's both, sounds very much like becausing.
What?
When you say maybe it's both, that sounds very much like becausing.
Well, that's fine. Tell everybody else what becausing is all about.
Oh, I'm scared to.
Oh, we won't bite.
Don't bite. Becausing is being the goal. It's being the. It's. I mean, if we start with a goal, I want a garden, but it's being every step of the way, being the result, if you'll allow me that word.
How about the reason?
Now,
yeah,
the problem is, if you're, and this is a problem, you've jumped into, there is nobody on this earth that uses the word becausing other than me. Now, what you've tried to do is to jump into becausing, and you've mixed up several definitions and understandings and gotten it wrong. So. Why not talk to me about your believings, not talk back to me about the words and ways that I have used? Because if you don't understand the becausing, you can't live it. There is no way. It's kind of like spiritual religion comes out there, it's all spiritual stuff. Well, what is that? Oh, well, the mind of man can't know spiritual stuff. Well, then how do you live it? How do you do it? You know, and if you don't do it, God's going to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but where in all of that, like I've said before, what is your image of life? And what is your relationship to that image of life? It seems to me that is fundamentally, or maybe the only goddamn thing that has any importance in life. The rest of this stuff we talk about is frou-fra.
Frou-fra?
Frou-fra.
Frou-fra.
What's that?
You won't find that in a dictionary, Simone.
Frivolous stuff. It's explanations. So, the point is, in your living as a loner being, wait a minute, let me back up a minute. Have you ever considered the possibility that before the 1600s, Isaac Newton was born in, 1642, something like that. So let's give him 30 years. So mid to late 1600s. And before that, everything was spiritual and mystical, and nobody really, really, really understood anything. But life had a lot of meaning in all of that. The church set the... What's the matter?
Heard a noise.
Huh?
I just heard a strange noise. Go ahead.
The church set the meaning. Now, it may be crap shit relative to what we know today, but your life had meaning. Mystical, magical, marvelous meaning. And then everybody comes along and says, oh, boy, good ray for Sir Isaac Newton. Let's see. He set up all of this stuff and figured it out. And all of a sudden, the universe became like a machine. It was all mechanistic. when this happens, then that happens, and this happens, and then that happens, and everything occurs in an order and follows that order, and everything works all right, and hey, science was happy. But it took you out of the picture. In other words, Sir Isaac Newton's concept, even for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction, provided nothing interferes. Well, he didn't say that. And so we're stuck with, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction, so you're going to get back what you do. Unless something interferes. Well, the minute we talk about you in that mix, you interfere all the time.
Right.
All the laws of physics are crapshit because you interfere with them all the time. Well, you know, now they come back and they say, oh, now listen very carefully. Since the 1920s, well, they've said, hey, you know, in the quantum world, everything is weird, and the observer, remember in the last gathering I showed you what the bleep is going on? The observer controls the experiment. Everything is uncertain until, some of the scientists didn't like that because it meant then that the quantum world was uncertain. That's not true. You're an observer, but damn it, you know, you're more than an observer in your own life. You're an interferer. You meddle with yourself.
All the time.
So all the rules, all... What?
I can predict how I'm going to affect the quantum world?
Yes.
Okay.
You do. That's what the whole quantum world is supposedly about. Mm-hmm. In that regard. But there's no uncertainty in your quantum world. It is as you are.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, then, let's get along with understanding you and who and how you are. But wait just a minute. If you're meddling with things, that must mean that whoever you are isn't what you want. Well, it's a loner being. That isn't what you want. Well, what do you want? That's all I've asked. If you could then say, wait a minute, this is what I want, and I would ask you, I will show you how to be that. Huh? What? I'll show you how to be that. I didn't know that. Yes, I'll show you how to be that. And when you be that, your universe is that. And it reacts to you. But, you know, they turned everything around. So, wait a minute now. Let's see now. If I put you back into the universe, you've created life as a mystical, magical adventure again. You're living life. Life isn't living you.
Mm-hmm.
And you create that magic and et cetera. But what's wrong with that? I would say, what mystical, magical... Hey, you remember when I wrote an article that said, make it up and make it real? What the hell did you think that was all about? What mystical, magical do you want in your life?
Mm-hmm.
No, I have to find out what the universe is doing. Like the laws of Sir Isaac Newton. The laws of Sir Isaac Newton don't apply to you because, well... You just interfered with everything.
I need my owner's manual.
You what?
I need my owner's manual.
That's right. But you have to write your own manual. You have to look at how you are interfering with your life. Oh, don't tell me about, this is what I'm doing. Sir Isaac Newton is a default relationship. when you're not doing it. But your life is about, well, how are you interfering with your life? How are you blocking away the self and life you truly desire? And then you'll always come back and tell me, well, this is what I want, and I'm trying to do that, and I've tried this, and I've tried that, and I've tried that. And No. In fact, all those tryings, you were blocking yourself from being and having the self and life you truly desire. And that's foolishness. So you tell me what you're doing, and maybe then in that we could straighten that out to a process that works for you. You are arbitrarily interfering, since you have no image, you are arbitrarily interfering with events and occurrences as they occur, with no concept of what you're really doing.
Right.
It makes no sense to me, but I guess that makes sense to you.
Nope, we're just stumbling around in the dark.
I think that is very, very true. And then at the end of life, you die and start doing it all over again. So let's start right there. Is there anything in that you don't desire?
Is there anything in that I don't desire?
Yeah. You stumble around in the dark until the end, and then you die, and then you start all over again.
I think everything you just said.
Well, probably everything.
all of the above.
Yeah.
Well, tell me.
Not knowing.
Okay.
I would like to understand.
What would you like to, let's start with the word knowing. What would you like to know?
I would like to know how to always live as I truly desire.
I don't quite understand that answer. How can you not know how to always live as you truly desire?
Well, you would think that would be obvious, but if based on evidence, I'm not living as I truly desire, so I would like to know why I'm not living as I truly desire. Maybe that's better.
Well, like I said before, is you're doing things which, in fact, block you from what's going on. Can you discuss that in terms of the word because?
You said I'm doing things that block me from what's going on. Do you mean block me as in I can't see what's going on, or I can't participate in what's going on? Or?
Yeah, all of the above, and then some. See, you get so focused on what you're doing without realizing that what you're doing is blocking what you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can see that from a distance. I can see that.
But that's important, and it's this important. That's why I talk to you in terms of personal self, eternal self, illuminated self, so that you could stand in a different position and see yourself from a distance doing that. Because when you're in the midst of what you're doing, it's too incestuous for you to even see, know, or feel, or understand what's going on. And the other problem in that regard is the old advice to look within. Obviously, that's if fallacious. You say, what you need is to go off a ways and look at what you're doing, or stay where you are and look all around you. But when you look within, it's too mushy. And you can't possibly understand it at all. Yet this look within shit is the answer to every self-help book out there. It's the answer to every philosophy for 10,000 years. It's the answer to yoga. It's the answer to meditation, which is many thousands of years old. And everybody, oh, well, you know, you got to be a spiritual, you got to meditate. It's based on meditation. The very nature of that destroys, meditation destroys what you truly desire. Let me ask you this. Would you like a life of living eternally without involvement?
No.
Well, then isn't that what meditation is about?
Yeah, well, and I guess that's why I don't do meditation.
And it doesn't matter. You still look within. You still look to your emotions. You look to your feelings. You don't have to do meditation.
I kick myself every day for doing that.
But then you don't. But that's what you're doing, is you're kicking yourself for blocking that off, rather than saying, okay, if you're not going to do meditation, if you're not going to do these things, what are you going to do? And I have
I just said yeah.
And the point of it is not then a duality, an alternative duality of that. It always begins with, what is your third option? Because in a duality, the opposite of meditation will screw you just as strongly as meditation does in that regard. Or looking without in the same attitude and way and manner as you look within, which you say you don't do, but then look without in the same way and manner, and it doesn't make any difference. What's the third option? You gotta consider that. And a third option is not an alternative. You don't give yourself third options to follow.
Well, I was just trying to think of what's the opposite to meditation. I don't know, living in chaos?
Why is there an opposite?
Being active?
We define this as meditation is looking within. And in the with the same sense of looking within, if you look without, you're still not involved. Is what you said that you wanted. So you're looking without and standing back and judging conclusions in that way. What is there? Is there no third option?
Looking without judging conclusions. Looking without and.
Wait. The minute you said looking without, it doesn't matter how you do that. You've already trapped yourself in the looking within without duality. A third option means neither of those. And not do one of them as opposed to the other in a different way. Third option means do something entirely different or other.
Okay, so it's not about looking. About being.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it means being it now, be it now, live it now.
What does that mean?
Ch- choose my expression, do my expression, be that which I would be forever and ever.
Well, let's assume that is the case. In that, you're focused on the action. You're not inner or outer is not even a part of that.
Right, yeah.
Maybe that and other things might as well be third options that may not be the third option that you want to follow. But is it not the presumption is always, no matter what it is, there's always got to be at least a third option.
Yeah.
But we stop our thinking by going to an opposite or presumed opposite. And that then in its very nature blocks everything you want. Because in fact, you don't want within. And in fact, you don't really, really, really want without.
Nope.
You want a third option that may or may not include both.
Well, the within and the without would put me once removed, at least, from what it is that I think I want anyway.
You see?
So the living it, being it, which is a third option, an option, is putting me in the thick of it. It's putting me into what it is that I probably want.
Okay, let's assume that that's the case. Then what?
Then what?
Is it possible, instead of looking within or looking without, you could look within everything you say? Look within everything you do. Maybe your saying and doing is telling you what it is, telling you the third option. Because your third option in that same regard may be entirely different than my third option.
Yeah. Huh.
But it's like the...
If I'm looking within everything that I say, I'm almost setting myself up as a guru or something to find my answers, and it sort of feels like I'm removing myself again.
Well, wait just a minute. Maybe you are the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is your life, why wouldn't you be the answer? Maybe that would be the third option, with no other option desirable.
No other option. Yeah, so, okay.
So my way would be the third option?
I don't disagree with that, Simone, but you would have to clearly, before I would say yes or no, you would have to clearly describe your way. And the most likely thing you're going to say is like, what Karen did is just being. Well, what does just being mean? Because you're going to say, but every action that I do, I can judge. And so that doesn't occur. Is it? But is that truly so? And the answer is no. It is you. Because as I tried to say to you, you never judge an action. You only judge a consequence or a presumed consequence of an action. You keep yourself focused on the action, not the consequences, and judging will not occur. Are you willing to say your way is your action?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you sure? And that your
yes.
way, your way is always the right way?
Yes, I think so.
I know you think so, but I said, are you always willing to say that? The answer is always going to be, well, no, that's going to get my ass in trouble in that regard. So if you're going to take on the authority of self, the authority of your way, are you willing to live that authority? And the question, I guess, that comes up is, how do you do that so that you don't muck up everything you're doing and everybody around you? Because what happens is,
yes.
as soon as a first...
That's what I do sometimes.
That's right. As soon as somebody responds, you... And I know that. I do the same thing. As soon as somebody responds in a wrong way, we throw all our authority away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we react to their response.
Wrong to us. When somebody responds in a wrong way, I react because it's wrong to me, but to them it's right.
Let's assume that's the case. But in doing that, you turn away your authority by responding to them in that way.
Yep.
Yeah. And this is now here's a problem you got to understand. Scientists always say, well, that's the way the mind works. And I say, yeah, because we worked it that way for, let's say, 75,000 years. So, yeah, it works that way. That means then that you have to work against the normal, natural way of minding and set your mind in your way. Because the mind you got as a loner being was trained or conditioned or subject to minding the only way it had ever been taught for thousands of years. It didn't know anything else. And so you can't trust your minding at all. Trust your intuition. Corruption. Trust your gut feelings. Corruption. Those gut feelings and etc. are of a loner responder and have nothing to do with you. And those gut feelings and intuitions are what blocking you from the third option or knowing yourself.
So maybe I'm looking for a way, but would there be a way to sometimes not answer or not enter a discussion when it is?
It doesn't matter.
Against my
it
way?
Doesn't matter whether you say something or don't say. Fact is, to me, you're better off to like anger. If you get mad and get over it, then. But whether you say it or not, if you think it, you thought it, that's too late. You really have to condition your mind to live as you want it to live. Your mind, as a loner mind, is ruling you.
Mm-hmm.
And in which case,
yeah, that's what I think sometimes.
Just to think sometimes, be damned. Think all the time. Because even what you want in life, or even what you say you want in life, and even what you say you enjoy in life, is all Rona stuff. It ain't you. Is that too much to imagine? And I say all of these simply because nobody ever had any concept that before 1944 or 53 and discussing DNA that this was not you. That wasn't an imaginable concept. No, you inherited that from your parents and all of that, but just like chickens inherit from their chickens and etc. But nobody would ever go back and say, but that ain't you. And all I've said for years now, but that ain't you. So you continue living the way your mind is conditioned to mind for you. I guess that's okay. But then you'll die and start over again. Or not. And not know the difference.
That's the big clincher.
Mm-hmm. What?
Is that you don't even know that you really lived before because you don't remember.
That's anymore. Right. So you start over again completely into the same box.
So it's meaningless, really.
That's why life becomes meaningless. So somewhere along the line, you got to grab yourself by the pants and say, I'm not going to do that. No, set that aside and say to yourself, well, what are you going to do?
They just fell in the toilet.
What?
It sounded like they just fell in the toilet.
So, okay, well, that's it then. We're over, huh?
I'm still pondering what you just said. What are you going to do? Oops, I just dropped it. And that's the big question, isn't it?
But let's ponder this for a moment. You're pondering it with a loner mind.
Yeah.
So yeah. How do you get out of the loner mind in order to, or is it possible to get out of the loner mind in order to even think of that? It doesn't do you one whit of good to think of an answer relative to your loner, let's change the word from mind to brain, your loner brain, the brain that your parents gave you to work with.
So okay, the brain, okay, so I can talk to you as the eternal being that I am.
That's an erroneous statement.
Okay.
That's what I kept saying all along. That's fallacious. What I said to you was, you as a as an eternal being, was like you said, a position to stand, to get away from yourself and look at yourself.
Yeah.
It's a far away, it's a long ago, far away place to stand and look at yourself. Not that you am an eternal being. Don't say that you're not.
Okay, yep.
But if you are an eternal being, you can only consider yourself as an eternal being of a loner being. So even if you got there, you got nowhere.
Okay.
This is...
Yeah, I see that.
This
so
is...
we talked yesterday about living as an eternal being. Which is very different from saying I am an eternal being.
Right. And that's an important aspect. And then if I can get you to even consider living as an eternal being, then I'm going to change it. But we got to get to that step first. But that's why there's a certain language I use for quite a while, and then I sort of change the language, because the first language in terms of personal eternal is one thing. But you know, I'm talking about abiding, but we can't get to abiding unless we work our way through personal eternal.
Yeah, let me see that. So I can talk to you as an eternal being.
Okay. In other words, what I said here, go stand over there at the red magazine, which we've set up as your eternal self. Stand there and talk to me about all things eternal.
And this would be in a describing way.
I didn't hear you what you said, Simone.
This would be in a describing way.
Oh yes. If you're going to talk to me, the minute you use language in that form, you're screwed. You can't do that. So yes, it would be in a describing way, and I would ask you then to describe your life as an eternal, or from an eternal perspective. What would that be like?
So, from an eternal perspective, I see my loner body. And I see my eternal being inhabiting my loner body. Is that a...
Okay, describe how that is.
Loner being eternal being is inhabiting the loner body and sometimes forgets that it's an eternal being and identifies with the body. And sometimes the eternal being is very much an eternal being, so it seems to flitter back and forth between mortality and eternal.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but then before we go too far, I want you to describe to me your death as an eternal being.
It is.
Yes, you were trapped with a.
As an eternal being, you don't have death.
Well, that's what my initial thing I wanted to say, but I thought you'd just...
But you then went on, and you thought about it. So you weren't really into yourself as an eternal being.
Unless she was contemplating what it would be like to be the eternal being and watch the loner body die. Which she could have been contemplating.
I could have been.
What?
I could have been.
Could have been what?
Contemplating watching the loner body die.
I don't disagree with that. And this then in more of the discussions is the useless crapshit answer that everybody gives. Well, my body dies, but I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
So, it's what you might call die is just another event.
What does that mean?
Like,
what does that mean? Another event in your life? Well, who invented it?
I invented it. Eternal being invented it.
Well, how did you do that? And in what way do you want to event that?
I decided that I was done with this physical body and I might try something different.
Doesn't do squat. What you've done, you've switched your conversation to talking about conclusions, and you can pile conclusions on conclusions until you're blue in the face. I'm going to ask you, well, what do you do as an action?
What?
Because you're back on conclusion, and then you're trapped in cause and effect.
So let's go back. What's the question?
All right. Let's assume you want to be eternal. Is that okay?
Okay.
Do you want to continue or do you want to recur?
Oh, continue.
You do. Well then.
Yes.
How do you do that? Because you certainly can't say, my body died, but I didn't die, because that meant then you didn't continue, you recurred, and in recurring, you died.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I live as an eternal being.
Well, how do you do that? How do you do that?
With every thought, belief, attitude, emotion, word, and action.
Those are conclusions.
Those are loner body things.
Those are loner body conclusions. That ain't get you anywhere.
Okay.
If you're going to talk about...
I live as an eternal being.
How do you do that?
I would do only things that I would do forever.
Okay, that's a good start. See, all the other stuff is just conclusion. Now you're talking to me about your actions, and we have something to talk about.
Right, okay.
If you want to continue the Anatera, then you must live only those actions that you want to continue. Not the consequences, the actions. That's the only thing you're living anyway.
So the only actions I do are ones that I do as an eternal being.
Let's assume that that's
most desirable.
That's the case. We'll just make that assume. And what?
And what did you say?
So what?
And I don't know what you're asking.
I know you don't, but you said you do,
and the universe,
you do that, and what are the consequences?
Well, the universe reacts to me, and generates a universe accordingly. Reacts back to me that which I am actioning into the universe.
Okay. That's fine. That's a good start. Now, where do you go from here?
I don't know.
That's right.
That's where I always get to, too.
Well, it's that open-ended and what, or where do you go from here that I don't know what you're asking.
I'm asking you, what's the next action?
More of the same.
But let me ask you a question. If you do more of the same, this is the interesting thing. Haven't you then more of the same loner stuff?
I've been more of the same. The same is only living that which I would do forever.
Now let me modify that sentence. What you're then doing is only living those things which I, as a loner being, would do forever. Well, what do you think the consequence?
Okay, what if I say I, as an eternal being, would?
How do you do that?
Because as I am living, I.
Every decision of living in that regard is loner stuff. How do you get out of that box? How do you get out of that trap?
I'm not deciding. I'm simply living.
But you can mush the words around all you want, and living is an active verb, and I don't disagree. But you decide on every action. Or we can use the hateful word, you judge every action before you do it.
Before?
Yep. Guaranteed.
We're always wanting to know what the consequence will be.
Or what you presume they're going to be.
Right.
Okay, so do you judge every action before you do it?
Not in the sense. Judge every action means have an image of the outcome. Not necessarily, and no. Can you act without having or creating an image of the outcome? Now,
yes.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. What I want you to do then is to act as an eternal being. How do you do that?
I act without having a picture of the outcome.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but you've got a hidden agenda under there, and you have an image of what is good, right, better, best for eternal beings to be and do.
If you say so, I don't know. I don't know what the answer.
I'm trying to point out the dilemma that we can deny until we're blue in the face, and it doesn't matter. If you do that, then what is your third option other than saying, "Okay, I do that." Okay, Roger. Then I won't do that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying do, don't do. I'm saying, what's the third option?
Okay.
Is it possible that eternal beings always and only live third options?
Yeah.
Oh, so in every instance, mm-hmm. doing or not doing is a duality, and that in and of itself is not an eternal being. But if you're then not living third options, whoa, then you're not living as an eternal being. How do you do that? You remember the simple question I asked? And the question was, would you rather have an intimate relationship or be the reason you have intimate relationship? And everybody chose, I want to be the reason. Well, what does that mean? How do you do that? How do you become the reason you have intimate relationships? And isn't being the reason you have intimate relationships a third option to having an intimate partner or not having an intimate partner? Being the relationship is an entire, completely different third option, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, if you can answer that question, or there's something to talk about. You can talk about relationships. Talk about that, and then we'll say, okay, now can we mush that over into where we are in this dilemma in your life today? If you're talking about having an intimate relationship, wait just a minute now. Is it possible that we can say an intimate relationship with yourself as an eternal being or being the reason? See, if you can give me and discuss that the difference between having a partner, an intimate partner, or being the reason that you have intimate relationship. If you can discuss that, I can change the words and say the same process applies to your eternal self. And when you get through with that, then I'm going to say, and the same process applies to your abiding self. Why wouldn't it? The universe is lazy.
Yeah.
It finds a way to do something, and it keeps doing it. So all you got to do is to find any one process that seems reasonable. And that's a good one right there. An intimate relationship. Wouldn't you like to have an intimate relationship with your eternal self? Well, sure. Well, then it fits. Or would you rather be a reason you have intimate relationships? So the structure fits, and the process is the same. But it
just... So can we follow that through for a second?
Sure.
I am the reason I have intimate relationships.
Well, maybe yes, maybe.
I want to say because of a whole bunch of things that I am, that the way that I live.
Okay, I'll allow that, because we're sitting over here talking on the periphery.
All right, because I speak intimately and openly and honestly, and I listen openly, intimately, and honestly.
If you speak openly, honestly, and listen openly and honestly, wouldn't that be a function of speaking to and listening from your eternal self?
Yes, it would.
Oh, okay. Now, what else is there a reason?
I want to say clearer about what I'm doing in my life.
You are clear about what you're doing in your life?
Yeah.
Well, wait just a minute now. If you have intimate relationships, don't you have to be clear about what they are doing in their life, and don't you have to service or be intimate for them as they desire? Are you telling me that you're the reason you have intimate relationships because you live what you want intimately? Is that right?
Yep, and I foster that or investigate that or support that. I support that in them too.
So that there's a you and me and we.
Yeah.
So that you're all both right. Then in that then weeing.
Weeing.
Well, I refrained from say wee-weeing, didn't I?
Nice word.
I thought I restrained myself well.
Good laugh, though.
But can't you see what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Wee wee.
Well, the pattern that process of identifying that which makes me the reason for having an intimate relationship is the same process that identifies me being the reason for being an eternal being. I haven't got that right.
Yeah, but I don't disagree. You're talking conclusions now. I'm asking you, what's going on here?
What's going on here?
I'm getting you away from yourself.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're all...
Stand back and look.
So you stand back and look at yourself being the reason you have or don't have intimate relationships.
Yes.
And then I'm saying, okay, then you've got that down. Now you can apply that directly to... Wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me that you have to create intimate relationships? They don't just happen. Well, there I was, and then the music plays softly, and he's the one happening.
Yes, I am telling you that.
Well, then, that means, if I understand you that, if that's what you're telling me, then your eternal self doesn't just happen and there's soft music and it occurs. You have to create it or it ain't going to happen.
And you have to maintain it, too. Like, you have to keep doing it.
Well, absolutely. You can't be the reason once and screw it up the rest of the time.
No, it's a perpetual motion thing.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yep, that's good.
So what about the end of the relationship? Then what?
There is no end to the relationship.
Well, you have a relationship with Pat. Let's assume somewhere along the line it comes to an ending. Then what?
Well, but it doesn't. It may change.
Pat dies. You don't have any relationship with Pat anymore. There's no interconnectedness. Everything is just separate and different. Kapat is kaput.
Kapat?
Kapat is kaput.
Well, I was going to say Pat comes to Hawaii and lives with you guys. But we still have a relationship, do we not? I have a relationship with
he's dead.
Pat, whether he's dead or whatever. It doesn't matter.
It does matter. You can't keep saying, oh, well, we still have a relationship.
Well, I wouldn't say it quite that way, but...
you'd have memories.
You don't have a relationship, you have memories.
Okay.
Well, that's important. Because if we're going to make the, if we're going to make this comparison, then I'm going to say to you, you talk to me realistic about you've come to the end of the relationship with Patrick, and then we can talk about death. His death or your death. I don't really care.
Uh-huh.
But you talk to me about the process of this. So I can take that process and apply it to a different or other aspect of yourself. And then we can start.
Okay, so Pat dies. So I have memories of Pat. I can still think about him and think about what Pat...
But what are you going? What are you going to do when you get into a relationship with Charlie? Are you always going to talk about Pat? You're going to have pictures around the house about Pat, Pat this, Pat that. Oh, you're just like Pat.
I probably will compare Charlie to Pat.
I'm sure you will. And let me ask you a question. Is that intimately fair? And is that process going to lead you to because intimacy?
Sounds pretty
probably
dangerous.
Not.
That's right. Well, all right. Well, we still have to deal with, no matter what you do and what we talk about, you still have to deal with death. You can't gloss it over. If I'm going to take that process and apply it to you as living as an eternal being or living as the reason you have intimate relationships, then I must challenge both of those with death, endings.
Okay. Yeah, so?
So, if you can't deal with that question, you can't live as an eternal being.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will always thwart anything you do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so dealing with that question means talking about what I do after Pat dies?
Well, it helps. Let me ask you a question. If you're okay. The reason you have intimate relationships, are you living an intimate relationship with you or with Pat?
With me.
So,
I think you have a
Pat
big hint,
doesn't
hint
matter.
I think you have a big hint, hint.
So, Pat dies.
It doesn't matter.
I am... Sorry?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
If you're an eternal being, or and we're starting this with, you're the reason you have intimate relationships, and you're always having an intimate relationship with yourself in that regard. I know this. Mm-hmm. I know this screws up everything you've ever thought about, but then Pat doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right. I can see that.
And so,
when that
relationship ends, the relationship of having an intimate relationship with yourself continues.
Yeah.
That's the relationship that continues.
That's the relationship that continues. Are you willing to live your life so that you always and only have an intimate relationship with yourself?
Yes.
That's narcissism.
Yep.
I love it.
But you see how we have to throw out every concept of philosophy and religion and all the other stuff to even begin understanding this.
Yep. Yep, it's very different.
That's right. So when you have a problem with Pat, you're really having a problem with yourself.
Yeah.
It may be a different problem, but it can be portrayed in that regard. So what we're doing here is to taking the one process and changing the name of things and saying, well, now I can understand this process this way, but can you change the name and understand things entirely different than you ever thought possible? And the answer is yes. And only then does life and your life start making sense. And then only then in that way are you beginning to then be able to make sense of it and talk about yourself in life.
Yeah, I see it.
And it's against everything. You're supposed to be loving and compassionate. You're supposed to serve others. The whole basis of life, everybody says, is to do unto others. Give to them. Be for them. Do for them. You can't do that. And if you do, where we started this thing, you wanted to understand yourself. Do for others, and you can't understand yourself.
Well, I can do for others. I mean, I was going to say I can do for others, or I can be the reason for an intimate relationship with myself. But that's an either-or thing. So there is a third option I'm imagining in there somewhere.
Okay, but that's what. At every step, at every otherwise choice that in life to act upon things is, can you choose a third option?
Yeah. Yep.
There's a story, a Chinese guy. And so this is an old story, and it kind of comes from it kind of comes from, are you always willing to live your authority? And it also comes from Jesus, who says, if a man steals your coat, give him your cloak as well. You see, if somebody steals from you, then you have lost your authority. But if you give him your cloak as well, then you have, no matter what, in that situation, you've maintained your authority, have you not?
Yes.
Well, it was this old Chinese story. A guy gets robbed along the way. And the guy, in the conversation of all the event, the guy says he needs a hundred, whatever Chinese dollars might be. And the guy says, well, I'm sorry, I don't have 100. I've got 50. That's all I've got is 50. But I'll tell you what I'll do. When I go home, I got it at home. So I'll get another $50, or we'll say dollars, at home, and I'll put it under a rock in front of the temple. And tomorrow, after 8 o'clock, you can come there, and the $50 will be under the rock at the temple, which he did. And the guy did go there, and there was another 50. Do you understand how in that, no matter what is occurring, you've maintained your authority?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, the question is, can you maintain your intimacy? Can you maintain your eternalness in some sort of way? Anything like that that enables you to maintain your authority, your intimacy, regardless of the other individual.
Right. So in the story, the guy that was robbed just took charge and offered more.
You see? And so he maintained. His authority.
So what if, okay, because you've said that before, you know, if your job is to work for an hour, you have the right to work for an hour and a half just to, because you want to, and it establishes your authority, correct?
No, I haven't said it that way, but okay, we'll allow it.
Close enough? Because couldn't the same argument be said then to work half an hour instead of an hour? Does that not also maintain your authority?
I guess you could say yes, but psychologically, you know, and I know the answer is no.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Doing more when you don't have to do more maintains your authority. It's like I said to Pat back in early 98 in that regard. Does a contract that you sign with a client describe what you do? And he says, yeah, or what you have to do. And I said, a contract that I have with a client is the least I have to do or expect of myself.
Yeah.
And I can give you 100 examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
And only in those ways do you maintain your authority. But in that, then, you aren't maintaining authority by power, by force, by overcoming. Mm-hmm. None of those things. But you've maintained your authority in all regard in life. Can you, in that then, maintain your authority in being the reason you have an intimate relationship?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You see? And it is to find in every situation, what is the process here? And can I take the process and change the participants or change the ingredients, whatever that may be. And it show me to a way of life or living or being that is a third option or that is inconceivable or never has been conceived of before. And yet it becomes so simple because the process works over here, then the process works over there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We okay? But we've stayed within the process, never gone to a conclusion. I've tried to keep you, when you do that, you jump into speaking to me in conclusions, I'm going to try to stop you because I want to stay only in the process. And that part, is it possible that there is a process of life that works for you in every, or can work for you in every instance?
Yes.
Is it possible then, allow me this for a moment, that you could work the process of being the reason you have intimate relationships as the process for everything in your life?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You see?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And we've never discussed any outcomes, happenings, or conclusions in any of that. Would there be in any regard, if you were always the reason you have intimate relationships, then you have inner relationships, inner ones and outer ones and other ones. And, mm-hmm. Would that be so bad?
Yeah.
But the point is, you could also along the way find other processes that you could use within that process or use in place of that process. All we've done so far is set laws and rules based on outcomes, right, good, better, best outcomes, and it hasn't worked. Well, I guess there we are. It's pushing up toward 8 o'clock. You want to call that for now?
That's a good place to pause, because that's got a lot. I've got a lot to think about.
But I can take the same process and go into abiding being. Then I can take the same process and go beyond abiding being, and it would be just that simple.
Yep.
And just as you could talk to me about intimate relationships, or we could have a conversation about intimate relationships, you could have just as easily a conversation about your eternal self, abiding self, and even beyond.
Yeah, I can see that.
But we have to start with something that is, let's call it, familiar to you to work with. And mm-hmm. you know yourself how many things you do that block your being the reason you have an intimate relationship with Patrick. Then I can say mm-hmm. you do those same things in that way, the same actions that block you from having an intimate relationship with your eternal self or abiding self.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's awesome.
Yes, that's great.
Well, tune in tomorrow. I mean Monday, to next Monday, because we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Oh, good.
But different.
Okay.
All right.
Can I ask a question?
No.
Real quick, the third option.
What?
Is the third option always a view of an eternal and abiding
view? No. The third option is whatever you want it to be.
Okay.
But it has nothing to do with what you think it has to do with.
Yeah.
Or it's not an option.
Yeah.
If you think that what it has to do with, and that then it's an alternative and not an option.
All right.
No. Okay. Good night for now.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.